Praise the Lord. Let us once again stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we want to say like Cornelius, we are gathered before your face to hear and at the same time receive what you have to say and prepared for us. Beloved Lord, I pray, come down, take dwelling in our midst. You have made the promise, I will dwell among them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Beloved Lord, we have lived under our privilege until now. We ask you, help us, bless us, restore all things, and glorify thy name. We pray that you take this meeting under the guidance and discipline of your Spirit. May the anointing rest upon us. Lord, come to your right, for then we also come to our right. Beloved Savior, have mercy on us. May your precious blood cover us and your grace crown us. Beloved Lord, you have revealed your word to us. Reveal now your strong arm. I ask this of you and all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are grateful to the Lord for every opportunity we have to come before his face, to worship and enter into his presence. And there is no meeting where we are not blessed. Every word speaks to us, and God always has something to say to us. And as I have just expressed it in the prayer, when God comes into his own in our lives, then we come into our own. Then what he wants done will happen. I myself did not go to bed until shortly before 3 this morning. The visit kept me up so long, and in the end, I had to tear myself away. But you can get by on very little sleep. It is important that people can bring out what is in their heart and that one can help them. The word we heard in the introduction is one of the wonderful promises God has made. He says here, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Sometimes we use the phrase, I command, and there may not be too much behind it. But when God commands, oh, there is all his power and all his might behind his word. When he speaks, it is done. When he commands, it stands fast. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, Let the earth bring forth plants and trees and all things. It came to pass thus. Everything that he spoke, that came to pass. Now the thought came to me just prior. We are gathered here to pray, and we have something on our hearts that we would like to ask God for. And we know that when the Lord walked on earth, people came to him, and he simply asked, "What do you want me to do to you?" And those people spoke their request, and the Lord gave it to them. And when we have come together in this hour to pray, he asks you and me, "What do you want me to do to you?" We must already know, for God can only hear us if we do not just pray 100 things in general, but bring one thing before his face that we wish to receive from him. Our prayers must have a request in them that we offer to our God. The lepers said, "We desire to be clean." The blind, "We desire to receive sight." The lame, "We desire to walk." The lost, "We desire to be saved." The sick, "We desire to be healed." It has always been the direct requests that have now been brought before the Lord. Today, he asks you and me, "What do you want me to do to you?" And there may be some desires here too, but that is not quite the right thing yet. It must be the core problem, the direct greatest need that moves you and me. That we want to bring to the Lord. I'm sure that for my sake, the blind man had many other things too, but his main desire was, "I want to see." The leper may have had many problems, but his leprosy was his main problem, and he brought it before the Lord. And so, we too want to bring our main concern to the Lord this morning hour. And here I or you, or one cannot say to the other, "Pray about this or that." It has to be put in our hearts by God. My main concern is that God wants to make me a child of God, as it is written in this book, and that he could make us all children of God, in whom he can glorify himself, through whom he can confirm his word, through whom he can reveal his power, through whom he can speak. When God walks this earth, he needs your feet and mine. He is spirit. When he wants to speak, he needs your mouth and mine. If he wants to lay on hands, he needs your hands and mine. He has created a body for himself, through which he wants to reveal himself on earth. Just as God revealed himself in Christ, so Christ wants to reveal himself in the church and through the church. And Brother Branham puts it so aptly. He says, "God sent Christ, but he was in him to confirm the word." And indeed, the scripture says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He says, if God sends us, he is also in us to confirm the word we preach. And that's basically what it's all about. We believe God, but we certainly don't yet have the absolute confidence in him that he is even more than able to give even that which we dare not ask or plead for at all. For Paul puts it this way, that God will give us more than what we ask him for. We do not even know how much to ask, and God gives us even more when we come before him in faith. The Church of the Lord should and must and is restored to its original state. The teaching had to forerun everything, so that everything that belongs to Babylon is left behind, is cut off, is set apart. And it indeed says, ye my people, come out, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. That's one part. But with that, the second has not yet happened, namely to be put into service, to be blessed by God, so that we receive the fullness from his sanctuary. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. God had ordered all things by his word, had anointed the mouth of his servants to establish the various scriptures according to the spiritual development at that time, and also to communicate them to the people of God. He did the same during this time. And then came the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we talk about it, and one has this view and the other has that view. But when it happens, we no longer have a view. We have the thing itself, which is the experience with God. Before, we have this view and that view. But when it happens to us and with us and through us, then we no longer have the view about an experience. Then we have the experience itself. And that's what we are concerned with. We also find in the message people who have this view because Brother Branham has made some statement somewhere, and they disregard all the other statements. Only then, when we take everything that belongs to a subject, do we have a balance, and we need the balance. Otherwise, we just miss the mark. Anyway, it was on my heart from the beginning to create a balance through the proclamation of the Word of God. I don't know why, but that was given to me from the beginning. And you can really believe me. Immediately after Brother Branham's passing, I noticed the first spiritual deviations in such a fabulous and almost incomprehensible way that I needed God's grace to find my way through the confusion. But it was God who gave me his word as a lamp unto my feet. And it indeed says, How shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, by taking heed to thy word alone. How will a believer, how will you, how will I cleanse our way? The answer is, if we keep the word of the Lord. And we are here today, I would say, in a family circle. We are a family of God. We have one Father, and that is the Heavenly Father. Earthly bonds are nowhere near the same as spiritual bonds, because earthly bonds are temporal, spiritual bonds are eternal. But it is true that from the beginning there were certain things that had crept in and, strangely enough, had always penetrated to the core. And I think of one man in particular, Brother Branham, who knows how many times mentioned in his sermons, the man who tried to convince thousands of people that Brother Branham was Jesus Christ himself. And I was so horrified. I didn't know what to think, what to say, what to ask. A man who had been with Brother Branham not just for one day, but on an ongoing basis. He got down on his right knee and raised his right hand to heaven and tried to convince me that Brother Branham had been Jesus Christ. And you can imagine, God has given me a heart full of love. I can't hurt people. That's not in me. I'd rather be hurt. And I'm already hanging on the gallows and still believe in the good. I can't help it. God made me this way. I don't see evil. I see good. But then it was really too much. Enough was enough. And I said, listen, brother, why don't you be reasonable and consider that we are all still human and that even Brother Branham, despite his high calling and the mighty things that God has done in his life, he's still been human and he wouldn't let me talk at all. You know, when people become fanatical, it is almost impossible to help them. Every word seems to be in vain. And I just wanted to say humanly, listen, brother, he was a married man. He had a family. He was born, his father, his mother. And we know all these things. And he has four children. I say, why don't you be sensible and think about what you are saying? And the man actually managed and said, that is a mystery you don't know yet. I said, brother, I don't claim to know all mysteries, but that mystery I really do know. And the conversation went so far that I asked him the question, do you believe in the oneness of God? And he said, yes. I said, then you mean to say that if you think Brother Branham was Jesus Christ, that he was then also the Jehovah of the Old Testament and therefore the Creator? And with a pep, he said, yes, I believe that. And then, of course, everything was over. That's when all the strings snapped. That was the end of it. What I mean to say is this, that up into the closest circles, wrong things have crept in, and that from the very beginning. And maybe you have heard it on the tapes. That was the reason why Brother Branham said, I'm withdrawing. I stop preaching because my best friends want to make me Christ, and by doing that, they are making me an antichrist, because there's only one Christ, and that's the Lord who died on the cross of Calvary. And he says, I must put an end to this. And he began to weep and said, Lord, help me to put an end to this thing. And then God revealed to him that it's the serpent that has come among the people and spread this view to make his ministry impossible, because then all the others say, look, here you have it now. His followers are making him Jesus Christ. Sometimes you can hardly understand why God allows such things. And then the Lord, in his grace, came to him and explained it to him and said, listen, it's not the first time this happened. They also came to John and asked him, are you Christ? The Lord did not fail to answer him. Only the sad thing is that people can be so close to the right thing and still be under wrong influence. And that has to be stopped. That has to stop. We cannot be under the true word of God and then fall prey to a perverse spirit or its influence. We want God to draw a clear line of separation. And when I have spoken about these false things and inspirations in the past evenings, it is not because I enjoy it, but because it is serious, bitterly serious. And I can't listen to all these self-made things anymore. I only want what God does and nothing else. These factories of their own that have come into being, where spiritual things are fabricated, they should basically be destroyed, like Israel did with a reactor there, and dropped a bomb, and then it was all over. We have arrived at a time when every other influence has to be put aside. You know, this can also happen to people who are very close to the Lord. Remember John and James, I think it was those two, who just said, Lord, if you want, we command fire to come down from heaven. And the Lord says, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. What was it? In the twinkling of an eye, something can come upon us, and we don't even know what we are doing. When Brother Branham said that 9 different interpretations of the message would come out of Tucson alone, I think you ask yourself, how can it be possible? We are not interested in interpretations, and you will not experience that we interpret the seventh seal or the seven thunders. We do not interpret anything. We wait until it pleases God to fulfill all these things, because every interpretation is wrong. Whether they are 9 or 900, they are all wrong. We know, after all, that God did not send his prophet for us to interpret again, but to reveal the things of the Word of God. But even there, we recognize that people become impatient. Of course, Brother Branham spoke of great things, but these great things do not happen when you little man and I little man begin to interpret. These great things happen when the great God does them, and not sooner and not later. I would also like to say, like the Lord, how I wish it were already kindled. How I wish we were in the midst of the great working of God. But I will beware of bringing own fire on the altar of God. I will beware of bringing my own interpretations and causing an expectation in people that then leads to disappointment. No, perhaps that is why I'm a Prussian by nature. I can't get involved in anything. I have to have a complete overview of what is to happen. Some assumption and enthusiasm is not enough, neither for you nor for me. We need 100% certainty. And I mean, God's word is 100% certain. And we just have to wait in patience. Sure, there have been so many who wanted to do the greatest things. And I already said it a few days ago. The last man was the man from Australia, formerly from South Africa, who called me from India and said, "As soon as I set foot on European soil, the greatest revival ever will begin." And what happened when he stepped on European soil? He limped just like everybody else, and nothing happened at all. I am tired of it. All these announcements and all these things that people promise, they can't keep them. Why promise in the first place? And we've come to the point where we'd rather not hand over the platform to anybody. And I've also come to the point where I want to make it clear that nobody should go around saying, "God has revealed this or that to me." It must come to that if anyone thinks God has revealed something to him, write it down. Don't tell a single person. Write it down. Bring it to us. And I tell you, we will not condemn. We will get down on our knees and open the Bible. And we will put what you think has been given to you by God. We will put it on the Bible. And we will ask God from the bottom of our heart to give us divine clarity. But this going around with revelations, it seems there are people, they have both pockets full. They take them out of here and out of here. It's a thing that doesn't bring glory to the Lord. And it confuses the people. And in the end, we stand or sit there and say, "I don't understand anything anymore. I have no revelation at all." And this brother and sister, they have revelations all the time. We were looking at it last night. And the Lord says, "Have you not seen your own visions? Have you not made up these things all yourselves?" And there are people who close their eyes. They have such an imagination. And then suddenly they see, as I heard last night, a big iceberg. And then they see this and that. "I'm not interested in anything anymore. I would like to see Jesus. I want to see him in the power of his resurrection." All these pious sayings, I don't want to hear them anymore. On the other hand, we want to be open to everything that comes from God. Brothers, sisters, if God has made something known to you, you are even obliged to share it with us and say, "Brothers, such and such has God revealed to us." We believe in revelations, but we believe that they must come from God. And if they come from God, then they have a meaning and a purpose. Then they accomplish something. Then it is not straw. Then they have content. Then they have substance. Then they bring blessing to God's people. And that is what we would like to ask of God. As sure as he has revealed his true word to us, so we ask from him the true working of the Holy Spirit, that nothing else is said but what God has said. And we are not ashamed to say that when people eat a little too late, they are indeed a little weighed down at night, and this weighed downness can give them a good dream. And then also Solomon says in Proverbs, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities and sorrow." And so it is. And we don't want that. The Christian market is overflowing with this. There's no need for it. That is overproduction. What we need is the grace of God to stay sober and come and say, "Lord, here we are. Take from us all that is not of you and reveal yourself to us in a mighty way." Let me read this word here quickly from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 57, from verse 14, and then we will also worship soon. Isaiah 57, from verse 14, "And he will command." Before that we read, "Whatever I command will come to pass." And here it says, "And he, the Lord, shall command, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." Perhaps by God's grace we have already done it to a great extent in these days, without individuals being aware of it. For where are all the stumbling blocks? Where are all the obstacles? What is actually holding us back? It is not your failure and mine. It is the spiritual things that are brought in that stop us. Here we read, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. This word too is a deep and a mighty word. We cannot go into the details because we want to worship. Here it speaks of the self-chosen way, and God angrily hid himself as long as Israel walked in a self-chosen way, and God will remain hidden as long as we walk self-chosen paths. Only when we walk in His ways as His chosen ones will He reveal Himself and bless us. Here He has left a wonderful consolation with reference to Israel and thus also to us. He says, I have seen His ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. God does not want to retaliate as men do, but comfort those who suffer. Blessed are they that mourn. We all mourn for the cause of God. We are not like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, bringing it to the shore. I don't know how many of you have ever been to the sea. When I think of our dear Swiss and the beautiful mountains, I ask, have you ever been to the sea? If you've ever been to the North Sea in particular and witnessed high tide and low tide, you can watch how after high tide lorries drive along the shore and how they load up all kinds of things and even impossible things. I watched it because I love the sea very much, just as I love the mountains, because God created nature, but it had a lot to say to me. It was especially on the island of Fanø in Denmark, where I watched this, how in the morning, after the tide was over, the lorry drove along the shore, and people were loading up. There was dirt and mud and canisters. Yes, all kinds of things. Everything had been thrown into the sea, unloaded from the ships, this and that. And it was all washed ashore en masse. Here the Lord says in His word, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. What is it? They themselves are restless, and they bring trouble wherever they come. They have no peace, and they bring strife wherever they come. He who himself has found rest in God and has come to rest from his works will radiate and spread rest. He who has peace with God will have peace. He will even, as the Lord said, when you enter a house, offer the house the greeting of peace, saying, peace be to this house. Blessed are the peacemakers. And we did read it from Ephesians 2 last night, that God has taken away the middle wall of partition and has made of an old man a new man as a peacemaker. He is our peace. He is our forgiveness. He is our salvation. He is our all in all. What you need, what I need, we find all in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you at rest in God, or are you troubled? He who is troubled is like the troubled sea. And I tell you, no one can resist. When the time of the flood comes, The best thing to do is to get a move on. Yes, sir, for the time is here and the water sweeps everything away. We have heard sometimes that it has breached dams. There is a violence in the water, but that's how the wicked are. And you know what? There is a word in the prophet Jeremiah. I'm not going to find it offhand, of course, but there it says, "For among my people are found wicked men." Have you ever read that? Oh, I wish I could find it. It must be written here on the right side, in this Bible here. I'm not going to find it now, but tonight I will find it for sure. It's got to be in Jeremiah, around the 7th chapter, somewhere. Somewhere here it must be written, where it says, "For among my people are found wicked men, they lay wait." It must be somewhere. Maybe you will find it while we are still praying, because sometimes we only think about the unbelievers and don't know that God is speaking to His people. God is not interested in those who do not listen to His word, but in those who want to be obedient to Him. Chapter 5, 26. Thank you very much. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 26. "For among my people are found wicked men, they lay wait, as he that setteth snares, they set a trap, they catch men." We cannot go into these things at all. If the wicked are lying in wait somewhere, they won't catch you and me. But when it says, "Among my people they are," here it is written, "For among my people are found wicked men, they lay wait as he that setteth snares." And you know very well, we as boys, I'm from the countryside, you all know that, and we caught foxes and things like that, and we set the traps, and then we would lay in wait and keep a close eye on when one fox was going to catch another and when the trap was going to close. Here God's word says, "For among my people are found wicked men, they lie wait as he that setteth snares." Oh yes, they duck their heads very nicely. They duck. They are duckers. You only see that when they think they have grabbed something. Oh, then they don't duck anymore. Then they are bigger than everyone else. Then suddenly you see them, then you hear them. And what is it? They are wicked. A true child of God will not lie in wait and will not set a trap for the other or think, "Oh, if I only grab him." A child of God will be glad that God has pardoned us all, for we all live by grace and may say, "Out of his fullness we have received grace for grace." But it all has to come to pass. Oh, we must realize how important the prophets are, even for the New Testament and for the church. "For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men." Have you ever noticed that someone wants to draw you into a conversation and somewhere hidden they have set a trap? Sometimes they even have a very small pocket microphone and a recorder. Before you know it, they recorded. I experienced it. And really, at the last moment, I actually noticed it. And what can I tell you? I had the courage and snatched it up and had a cassette in my hand with one grip. There are wicked men among the people of God. They lie in wait. Oh, they set traps. And then, of course, now we have him. Now we've got him. No, don't you worry. God has his own and no one else. And we, as his people, want to continue to trust him from the heart, to go forward in faith. We read these words only to examine ourselves where we stand. Are we troubled? Have we washed the mud and the dirt with all the trimmings to the shore? Are we people who set traps and wait for someone to fall into them? Or are we children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, who bless, who walk their path with God and pray for their brothers and sisters? These are things that we may and must accept as self-examination and say, Lord, where do I stand? And may he give us grace to stand with him. And the Lord says, if I will that he tarry, that's the thing. He himself helps us and will be with us. He says, my counsel shall stand. He not only says it, he commands. He commands. And his word is like a command. You all know when somebody commands, that's a command, not just a request. That is a command. And God has given a command through his word. And everyone must obey this command. It is the highest command that has been given. And God will bring everything out gloriously. Blessed and praised be his name. Amen.